Today we are chatting with Claire Lawrence. Now, Claire works with RNIB as a regional campaigns officer, but she also turns her hand to art, not just sculpting art, but sculpting the body as well. Well, to find out more, Claire joins us right now.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Tell me first of all, Claire, a little bit about the work you do as a campaigns officer.
Well, I work within the East Midlands Network, so my job is basically to work with visually impaired people throughout the five counties I cover. So they'll bring up issues like bins on pavements, cars on pavements, and I will support them to approach local government to hopefully change that and improve their lives. And then as well as that, along with my other regional campaigns officer colleagues, we work with the advocacy team. So it's reactive regional work and national priority work.
Apart from the campaigning, I mentioned art and this bodybuilding part as well. Well, to start off looking at the art, how did you get into that then? What was the sort of the spark for it?
Well, initially, I mean, I was always very artistic, but then I was diagnosed at the age of 8 with autosomal recessive retinitis pigmentosa, which basically you were just told you'd be blind by the time you're 20. And I remember a careers officer basically saying, well, you can't do anything with art because you're going to go blind. I thought, no, I'm going to do it. So I did a fine art degree at Reading University. And then after that, I did kind of forget, you know, you get into your job, your life. And it was literally, I got given a blowtorch as a joke present, you know, never give a blind person a blowtorch. And it just sparked this creative energy in me. And I started doing these burnt, really layered, textured pieces of artwork. And that's where it all started.
So we're talking sort of sculpture then, rather than painting here, but you know, as you say, a blowtorch is an odd present to get.
I could do this. I mean, I remembered back from my university days, I did do some work kind of burning through pages of a sketchbook, which I think in my lazy uni days was more actually, look, it looks like I've used the whole sketchbook, but actually all I've done is burnt all the pages. However, that did kind of ring in my mind, and I just thought, actually, it'd be really nice textures, and it's the combination of it smells as well. So very into the kind of whole sensory, if you can't see it, you could feel it, you could smell it, but actually to look at, they're very beautiful as well. So it's that all sensory combination.
I take it you've had a few burns on the way?
Not too bad. Actually, it was when I got given a hot glue gun that I actually experienced more burns, ironically, but yeah. I've got good friends.
yeah. I bet you can't wait for Christmas and birthdays.
Yeah.
So
who knows?
When you're thinking about perhaps an art project, are there things you look to for inspiration, or do things just come to you and you kind of expand on them?
Yeah, it's a combination, really. I mean, often it's kind of intriguing textiles and textures and things. So, I mean, one of my major loves at the moment is I've got a cling film ball, and it's a perfectly spherical ball entirely made of cling film. Currently, it's got 10 kilometres of cling film in it. It weighs about 35 kilograms. It's quite substantial. It's this kind of textural aesthetic. It feels nice. It looks nice. Then there was the work I did with Lexus. They gave me the opportunity to use really expensive car leather to burn, which, as I said to them, when they said, have you burnt leather before? It's like, no, I can't afford to do that. But if you're happy to give me leather to burn, then I'm more than happy to give it a go. So, yeah, I'll take opportunities as they come, really.
Do the ideas come as you're progressing through the work, or do you have a clear idea at the start?
Oh no, it's very kind of transformative. I mean, especially when you're dealing with testing materials, so you don't necessarily know how it will react, and then it'll be things like, I'll start doing one thing and think, actually, I wonder if that would work better with this, or maybe that would look better with this. And the cling film actually came in through burning, and then I just realized it just looked really beautiful anyway. And yeah, my mind is constantly, cogs are constantly turning.
What about exhibiting your works then? Have you done much of that?
I've had one solo exhibition in a small art gallery in Leicester, and then I was given an entire Lexus showroom to exhibit my work last year, so that was quite nice. And then other than that, I tend to just publicly show it through social media and try and work with other local artists and that sort of thing.
What kind of reaction do you get to your art? What do people, first of all, think of the work, and what do they think of you as a blind artist?
Well, I prefer if people see the work first and appreciate that, and then if they want the shock and awe of, oh my word, she's blind, you know, that obviously adds to the intrigue of the work. But I think most people are just surprised at how delicate it is, especially my burnt pieces. I stitch the holes with thread, which is entirely done by touch. I mean, even threading the needle, I've got so many needle threaders, impossible for blind people. but it's that kind of eye-opening, excuse the pun, idea of what's actually capable with your other senses and ignoring that single idea that you have to see to create certain things.
Because when we think of art, we probably think first of all of museums and galleries, things are behind glass, or it's don't touch. But you know, I imagine you probably actively encourage people to touch.
Oh, totally. You've got to get involved. You've got to touch it. I remember my degree piece at university. I'd actually made a floor out of a deconstructed cabinet, and I had to forcibly make people walk on it, because like, I've made this so that you can actually get on it and, you know, touch it, because people are so programmed not to. And I don't think people quite realize, when they rely so heavily on their eyesight, how much extra you get from an object by touching it.
Is there a goal for you to exhibit somewhere or take on something on a grander scale?
Oh, in a dream world, then the Turbine Hall at Tate Modern would be delightful. I kind of just take it as it comes. I mean, I've been so lucky with being approached by different people about different parts of my art, you know, things like the Ninja article that's just come out, and Lexus and Toyota. And it's amazing, especially with the wonderful world of social media, who actually ends up seeing what you're doing and what comes of that.
Would you try something on a big, big scale, or do you prefer things that you can really get your hands on, work quite intricately with, you know, and having, you know, something smaller than a turbine hole, perhaps?
I'm happy working to any kind of space. I do like the idea of the spectacle. It's always been my favourite element of art. So things that you can go in and be taken aback by how grand it is, but then maybe still be able to get involved on a smaller scale.
What, a Turner Prize perhaps in the offing?
Well, you never know.
Do you still come across people who think, you know, conceptual art is a bit odd? Perhaps people who just think it's all paintings and statues, that's what art is, you know, this is just a bit odd.
Oh, I think you will, and well, you always do, and any contemporary artist, disability or not, will come across. I mean, Damien Hirst, prime example. You know, people are either going to love or hate it, but the point of it is that you're expressing yourself, and as long as you feel like you've been true to yourself, then it doesn't necessarily matter what anyone else thinks.
Let's look at art and sculpting of a different type then, and sculpting the body. In fact, you got into bodybuilding. How did that come about?
Another mad tangent. A couple of years back, I was given the opportunity to train as a gym instructor with Instructability, who are a great course, which is pushing to get more disabled gym instructors into gyms in order to make them more accessible. So I was given the opportunity to go on that, and I qualified as a level 2 gym instructor with disability as well under my belt. And from that, I met someone on the course, and he was very much into bodybuilding, and he used me as one of his clients in his gym. I fell in love with his gym, and I think that was history, really. That was, I just really started training hard, found my personal trainer and my coach, who, bless him, had never trained a visually impaired person in his life, and it's been a rude awakening for him, but I think we've really learned off each other.
Is it addictive?
Oh, massively so. It's an obsession, and it has to be, because when you're working to competition level, you're sculpting every inch of your body. So it's daily, you know, I do 2 to 3 hours working out almost every day. Your diet's very controlled. It's very much about, you know, your muscles will react to what you're eating. So, yeah, it is. And it's all just for that end goal, to get on stage and look like the best version of yourself.
It sounds as if, you know, you've got two opposing interests, because you're saying, you know, the bodybuilding, it's very structured, you know, it's very dedicated in terms of what you have to do and the time put into it. But the art seems to be a bit more, well, you know, I'll think of something and I'll just have a go at something, and, you know, trial and error. It seems to be complete opposites to each other.
I must admit, I've never really thought about it like that. But yes, it really is. There's the free kind of floaty Claire, and then there's the incredibly controlled, regimented Claire as well. I think it's also a sense of control and defiance has always been good for me, because I think, you know, when you don't have control over losing your sight, you tend to try and control everything you can in your life, you know, to take that back. And in some ways, by doing the art, that is defying everyone else's idea of what I should be doing. So that's my kind of rebellious side, I think.
So that kind of, you know, people's perceptions of blindness, you know, I'm going to show them that, no, you're kind of wrong, especially, I would imagine, in the art and bodybuilding. You know, that's two really, you know, out there things that people would probably say, how can you possibly do that or get anything from that yourself if you can't see?
Yeah, well, I do always find it funny when I talk to people at the gym when they're all comparing. I'm just like, well, to be quite honest, I can't see myself in a mirror. So when they're all there taking selfies of themselves and stuff in the mirror, it's like, well, I can't really, I can feel the definition and I rely on what my coach says. But I think I fell in love with it mainly last year when I competed for the first time because I met so many wonderful people and I was competing against everyone. There wasn't a disabled section that I would be in or forced to be in because I was visually impaired. Because my body works, there was no reason why I wouldn't compete against everyone else. And it was incredible. They were all so understanding. It was just really refreshing because I think a lot of people who grow up with sight loss think PE or gym and school and think, no, well, it's not doable. And that's not the sort of thing I can do. And it's a polar opposite. It was so welcoming and brilliant.
With the body sculpting then in the competitions, is that poses and people actually looking at your form as well? You know, you mentioned you work out hard and it can be very finite, the areas that you're working on.
Yeah, your calves have to be even. It goes down to very small levels. So as long as you learn how to hold yourself up, I mean, that's the other thing. I got a wonderful posing coach who, again, she'd never worked with someone who was visually impaired before, but she, through touch and me touching her body or feeling where she's standing and how she's standing, taught me how to stand and hold my body correctly. It's very interesting. I think it's very kind of, I think there's a lot of negativity that goes into the way people think about it. And since doing it, I realise how dedicated the athletes are that go into this sport. You know, it's really, really hard work.
Is there a goal then for the bodybuilding?
Well, this year I'm hopefully going to be competing. Well, I should be competing, and whether I go forward or not is whether I place, but it will be aiming to get to the champs, and I'm hoping to be in the trained category, which is a category up from where I was last year. But we will see. If I could just place, you know, 1, 2, 3, or 4 and get a trophy, I'll be more than happy.
As for the R, any projects you're working on at the moment?
No, not quite, not at the moment. I was saying to everyone, I think it's one of those where I think I'm far too happy at the moment. I think art loves a bit of misery, so I'm not so inspired. So I am planning on getting back to my ball and adding at least another couple of kilometres to keep it refreshed.
You must be very good at organising your time because you're working as a regional campaigns officer, you're doing the art, you've got the bodybuilding as well. It's quite time consuming. Do you relax?
Not as much as my parents would like me to, I don't think. I'm constantly being told. I must say this January was the first time for a long time that I actually managed to book a holiday and I went away with my best friend and we just laid down by a swimming pool in the sunshine for a week. So I think I've done all my relaxing now and I'm ready to go again.
Is there one particular thing that drives you to do all of this?
I think for me it's being the best me and finding my happy. I've spent a lot of years in the past, you know, I sound positive and confident now, but I've been through some dark times dealing with your disability, dealing with sight loss, dealing with negative relationships because you undervalue yourself. And for the past 2 years, I have been the happiest I think I've ever been. And, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So if it's working for me, I'm just going to keep pushing forward while I've got the opportunity to do this.
Claire, best of luck with the art and the bodybuilding competitions as well.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for telling us your story on R&IB Connect Radio.
Oh, you're welcome.